All right, our reading is taken from Zechariah chapter number 4, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "The angel who talked with me came again and awakened me as one is awakened from sleep. He said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it. There are seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And by it there are two olive trees, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left.' I said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' Then the angel who talked with me answered me, 'Do you not know what these are?' I said, 'No, my Lord.' He said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring out the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it.' Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth.'" Amen.
Amen.
Now turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hands, look your neighbor square in the eye. They ain't gonna bite you. Look them square in the eye. Amen. And say, neighbor,
neighbor,
the Lord will do,
great things,
with small things.
Neighbor,
the Lord will do,
great things,
with small things. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "The Lord Will Do Great Things with Small Things." As we look around us, as we look at the task before us, some will say, "It is impossible." Others will say they are wasting their time. Some will say, "How do I know that the Lord's hand is upon it? How do I know that what they are doing is not so that the pastor can go around boasting about what he has done?" You know, ministry is truly about the people of God moving forward with the impossible. If we all truly check ourselves, there are some things folks said you would never do, but God has done the impossible with you. So if he has done it with you, if we come together as a collective body of Christ, you are bringing with you what the Lord has done in you individually. And if we all individually bring what the Lord has done for us and come together collectively, tell me what we cannot do. But there's something that has to take place. Reverend Flippin, there's something in verse number one that we got to see. Because verse number one starts it all. You see, it tells us in verse number one, it says the angel who talked with me, this is Zechariah talking, came again and awakened me as one is awakened from sleep. How many folk are sleepwalking in church today? How many folks still haven't woke up when God told you to wake up? How many folk are being so self-absorbed that we are unable to know what's going on? The reality is that in so many ways, it kind of hit Zechariah funny, y'all, because of his response. Because the angel said to him, awake, wake up. What do you mean awake? I'm already awake. He was talking to me like I was somebody who was. So in all actuality, he was, because he needed to. Somebody working with me. So how many folk need to know that you need to wake up in church right now? How many folk need to understand that God's got something he wants to show you, but in order for you to see it, you must first learn how to. But I want you to understand that there's a hindrance in you waking up. And the hindrance is you. And the reason why it's a hindrance is because there's still some things going on in church you just can't get past because it's not the way you want it, so you just won't. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this ministry is bigger than you. And that includes me too. You understand what I'm saying? See, what we got to understand is that if God is at work in the ministry is bigger than any of us. God wants us to see it. He wants to show us something. But in order for us to see it, we got to get out of our own way. There's something God wants you to see. But before you see it, Sister Davis, you first got to. Isn't that what he says right here? And we're seeing that it kind of threw a curve at Zechariah, because he was like, I didn't know I was asleep. But in all actuality, he was, because God needed to get his full and undivided attention. You see, I want you to understand that our God don't half step. You see, when God has done for us, he gave his all to get it done for us. So whenever God wants us to wake up and see, he don't want you to be groggy. He don't want you wiping your eyes. He wants you to be fully awake so that you can see what he is about to show you, so that you can learn from what he is about to do in your presence. Because look at what he says. He showed him something. And he said to Zechariah, bro, what you see? Well, I see a lampstand of gold. I see a bowl on top of it. There are also seven lamps on it with seven lips on each of the lamps. And next to it, on the right and on the left, two olive trees. Right? Ain't that what it says? So what we're seeing here is something that we have to recognize. This was a trying time for Israel. They are now coming out of exile. They're now going back to Jerusalem. They're now preparing to build the temple. And as they're going to build the temple, they got to understand that right now, in so many minds of the folk who are going back, there are so many folk who are believing and thinking that nothing can change. Nothing can get better. We've been in exile for 70 years. Look at where the temple was. It is now torn down. There's nothing there. How is it that we're going to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple? Because guess what? We don't have nothing. But what God was showing them, that there was the candle stand with the bowl on top. Tree on each side. Not just any tree, olive tree. So the oil coming from the olive trees was going to pour in the bowl on the top, which now goes down to each of the lamps. And as it goes down to each of the lamps, it was going to be perpetual, which means that back that what the people knew back then was that the only way that the lamps themselves could stay lit is that a priest had to go in and pour oil into the lamps in order for the lamps to continue to have the wicker to stay oily so it will continue to burn. But what God is showing Zechariah is that what man had to do in the past, man ain't going to have to do, because God's going to take care of it, because God is going to put the anointing and pour it in, and it's going to come in one way. So you know where it came from. It came from nobody but God. And I want you to understand today that what God is doing up in here ain't coming from nobody but God. You got to understand, it ain't about Pastor Cook. It ain't about you. It's about the God we serve. So God wants us to learn how to get out of our own way. Even though we appear to be small, we got to understand that we serve a God who can do great things with small things. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? What God wants to know, are you able to see how I'm going to work it all out for you? Are you able to see I've already made a way out of no way? But in order to see it, you got to get out of your own way. Check it out. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor, I ain't gonna lie. Verse 4 says, Zechariah said to the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered me, do you not know what these are? Uh-oh. Trouble on the horizon. Trouble in my way. It ain't no trouble if you tell God the truth. I mean, am I making this up? Look at what it says right here. Do you know what these things are? And there's a simple answer. And his answer was, no, my Lord. Stop lying to yourself and thinking you faking God out, telling him you know what he see. I know what this is all about, Lord. Do you know? Yeah, I got it. And then you say, stuck where you are and don't know why you're stuck. Because you're lying to yourself. You can't move forward if you're lying to yourself. You see, there have been times you've been able to lie to folk and get over. But when it comes to God, you can't lie to God and get over. You're going to stay stuck right where you are. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't stuck. And now you know how I know we ain't stuck? Because I'm going to tell God the truth. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care how many letters you have after your name. I want you to understand that I went to school. I learned all the stuff. Yes, I got letters after my name. But guess what? There's still some stuff I just don't. So it is always better for me to tell God, no, I don't understand. I need your help to understand. The only way you can progress and move forward is when you learn to be truthful first with your. Get away from that, Pastor. You've been there too long. In order for us as a ministry to move forward, it only can be through truth. Because the truth is the only thing that allows us to see the reality. The truth is the only thing that allows the obstacles to get out the way. The truth is the only thing that's going to allow you and I to truly be able to see the potential within ourselves, because we let folk lie to us and we believe a lie. You know you showing up there. Yeah, I know. You know you ain't did nothing. Stop lying. God's got some place he wants us to take us, and in order for us to get there, we got to tell
You see, and what has happened here? Like, how you get all that out of that one statement? Because it's a reality. Because the thing is this. He would not be able to receive the truth until he first told the truth. You see what I'm saying to you, my brothers and my sisters? You can't receive truth until you first tell truth. And when we came to Jesus, we had to tell Jesus that we were a sinner in need of a Savior, which means we had to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. So what we have to understand, if we started out telling the truth, how did we all of a sudden get into the wrong lane of lies? To get saved, you had to tell truth. To move forward, you got to tell. Because God has something to share with you. And as long as you keep telling God a lie, he ain't answered. Because you ain't gave him a truthful. Can we move on now? So look, check this out. Do you know what these are? This is in verse 5. Zechariah said, "No, my Lord." So in all actuality, the angel sounds saying, "Good. Because I asked you. First I woke you up." Check it out. I woke you up so you could see. Once you saw, you could describe what you saw. But you didn't know what it meant. Are you following me? Isn't that just like us? If I ask you, did you see that airplane? Yeah, I see that airplane. But if I ask you, how does it fly? Them engines. Well, what happens? I don't know. Now we can move forward. Are you following me? You see, the reality is that God is utilizing Zechariah and working through Zechariah because the people needed truth. We have to learn to speak truth to the obstacles. You know how they say we speak truth to the power? Well, the true power is only with God. So we got to learn how to speak truth to the negativity, truth to those that try to swindle us, truth to those that are trying to backbite us, truth to the backstabbers, truth to anything that's trying to get in our way, truth to those who don't want to go with us because we know we're going in a good way. We got to learn how to speak truth because God called us to be lovers. Yes. And in order to be a true lover for God, you have to learn how to tell the truth. So this is the truth. Y'all want to see the truth? Because look at what he says here. In verse number 6, he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The truth is, the people didn't see how they could do it because they did not have the might. Do you see it? And they didn't have the power. You see, in order for people to do stuff, they feel that they need might and what? Power. Because if I have the might and I have the power, then I can do anything I want from there. But what is happening is that these folk came up out of exile. These folk could only see the small things. And the small things that they saw, they didn't think they were capable of overcoming whatever was coming their way. They felt that they were incapable of being victorious because of the fact that they had a whole bunch of small things. You see, they felt that what they were coming up against was too big for them to handle. They thought that whatever adversaries came at them, they did not have the power or the strength to get through it. But here God is here reminding them, "I'm sending you back out of exile. I'm sending you back to build the temple. But I want you to understand, it's not by your might nor by your power, but it's through my spirit, says the Lord." Because this next statement helps us understand why God said that. Because what they were coming up against, to them, it was like a great mountain. Look at verse 7. "What are you, O great mountain?" How many mountains are you coming up against? You see yourself as a small thing, but that mountain is great. And as long as you see that mountain as being great and you as a small thing, you've already dismissed what God can do. We have taken out the one thing that changes the entire equation. Because if you remove God from the equation, you'll never get anything out of it. You'll never be able to accomplish it. You'll never be able to move forward. You will always see yourself as a failure. You'll never see any success because you remove the only one who is able to take a small thing and do great things with it. You see, my brothers and my sisters, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. And it's only God through his Spirit do we have the ability to face the mountain, and we can knock it down and make it a flat plain. Yeah. Oh, you don't believe me? Look at this. Keep going on with this verse. He says, before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring out the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, let me break this down to you, so that you and I can understand. We have to understand what grace is. Grace is an unmerited gift. You couldn't work for it, right? So since you couldn't work for it, that means it was given to you, because it's the one thing that's going to get you through. Well, the people of Israel were the chosen people of God who had been sent back to go to Jerusalem to build the temple. And God was giving him his Spirit. And his Spirit truly is God's gift, which is God's grace. And through the Spirit was going to lead the people, and the Spirit was going to knock down the mountain, and the Spirit was going to have Zerubbabel take the top of it and utilize it and let the folks see that it wasn't but God's grace that allowed you to overcome the thing you thought you couldn't get past. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, God's Holy Spirit is God's grace, and it's a gift to you and I. It's going to guide us and allow us to do the impossible, but you won't know it as long as you focus on the small thing, and the small thing in this whole thing is you. Yeah. But when you add God to the equation, God, the Lord, can do great things with small things. Do you see it? So what is happening here is that he's letting them know, not by might, not by power, but through my Spirit, says the Lord. And when you see what God has done, when you see God take that which was a mountain and he flattened it, you say that was nothing but God's grace. That's why they yell grace, grace to it. Because they realize if it hadn't been for God's grace, they would not have been able to overcome the mountain. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we look at what God has brought some of us through, when we look at the hellacious situations we've been through, if it had not been for God's grace, where would we be right now? We could talk about how holy we are, anointed and appointed we are, but if we remove God's grace, where in the world would we be? You see, I'm excited because if it was not for God's grace, where would I be? You see why he says it? Grace! Grace to it! Check this out. Moreover, in verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. You see, my brothers and sisters, there's evidence that God is at work. Yeah. And the evidence that God is at work is you got to see the evidence. But if you ain't wake up, you ain't going to ever see it. That's just like some folk coming to church and leaving saying, Lord, bless us. We had a hallelujah good time. And other folks say, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't seen none of that. Are you following what I'm saying? So what we have to see and realize and understand is that God is showing us. There's evidence. And the evidence is that he's not going to just lay the foundation. He's going to complete the work. So in so many ways, they're saying Zerubbabel is like an appearance of what Christ is going to do. Because Christ ain't just come to create the foundation. Christ came to build the whole house.
And since Christ came to build the whole house, we understand that the evidence is there that he's there with us. The evidence is there that he's the one who fixed it. The evidence is there that he was the only one who was able to allow it to be what it is because of who he is. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you know how good God is, you got to see the evidence that God is working in your midst. When you see God working in your midst, you can't help but give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. When you know it's nobody but God who made a way out of nowhere, you can't help but give God a hallelujah. You can't help but stand up and just wave your hands. You can't help but say, Lord, I thank you. You can't help but magnify his holy name. Why? Because you realize the evidence that God is working in you, through you, and around you is all around you. And you just thank God that he allowed you to see him at work in your midst. Do I got anybody who's excited to see God working in their midst? Do I got anybody who realizes, I don't know where I would be if you hadn't been working in my midst? You see, my brothers and my sisters, all God wants us to be able to do is see him in our midst, see him blessing, see him healing, see him changing, see him working it out, see him getting those who are sick and bringing them back to us, see him keep families together, see him make a way out of nowhere. Have you seen the evidence? Now, check this out. I got to take you to this last piece. In verse 10, he says this. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which range through the whole earth. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know he ain't talking about you. Cut that out. That might be. Yeah, I know I heard it. All right. What is happening here is God is letting Zechariah know there are some folk who are looking at the small things that they have and didn't believe God was going to do it. They were already saying it can't be done because we're just a whole bunch of small things. But just having these small things is not enough, because when I look at what we got to come up against, we are a small thing. But those are going to be the same folk that are going to be complaining the whole time while the building is going up. I can't believe it. I just don't know how it's going to happen. But when the building get up, hallelujah! I don't know how it's going to happen. Ain't going to happen. But what I'm here to tell you today, look at your neighbor, say neighbor. That ain't us. So what we're going to do from right now is, my brothers and my sisters, we're going to learn how to rejoice in the small things. And I want you know where the small things are? Look all around you. You ain't got nothing but a whole bunch of small things around you. All of us is a whole bunch of small things. And some folk are saying, with those small things that y'all have, there's no way you're going to put a building up over there. But what I'm here to tell you is that we ain't going to be those who are going to be despising it. We're going to start rejoicing right now. We're going to start thanking God right now. The Lord will do great things with small things. Because when you look at yourself, all you were and is a... Amen. And I want you to understand that we are all small things. But when you add God to the equation and God's Spirit is working through us, don't you know that the Lord will do great things through small things? And that's why he says here in this verse that he says again, the day of small things shall what? Rejoice. So what I'm saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, don't wait till we get the building to start shouting. You ought to start shouting right now. You ought to start rejoicing right now. You ought to be thankful right now. Because when you look at yourself, you ain't nothing but a small thing. But the Lord will do great things through. See, my brothers and sisters. And he says the seven eyes are all over, which means that God is already blocking all the stuff that's trying to get in our way. God is already opening doors that others think are going to be shut. God has already knocked down the walls and made things possible. God has already poured the cement and the foundation is coming up. And all we're saying, and the problem with some folks is saying, what is my one brick going to be so much for that entire building? But I'm here to tell you today that the Lord can do great things with small things. You see, because when I look at that little dude, David, they told us David was young and he was ruddy. He was a little handsome, right? Yeah. But he went up against a giant who was 9 feet tall. You see that David was a small. But the Lord can do through what? Small. And what did David do to Goliath? And oh, come on now, it ain't gonna stop there, but I want you to come on and keep going with me now. You remember when Daniel was in there praying and they said that if anybody prays, they're gonna be sent into the den of lions. And we see that they caught Daniel praying, and Daniel was a but I want you to know, but he was praying to the God, and the Lord can do what? Through what? Small things. And they took Daniel and they threw him into that lion's den. Don't you know he was a small thing? And they thought he was going to be devoured. But that next morning when the king moved that stone and said, come out, that brother came out unscathed, unbit. And matter of fact, the lion ain't even lick him one time. I'm here to tell you, the Lord can do what? Great things. But it don't stop there. Because when I go a little bit further, I think about a situation where 5,000 folk came off the plane. And as they were coming to Jesus, Jesus said to his disciples, come on, we're going to have to feed them. They said, how in the world are we going to feed them? All we got is one brick, 5 loaves and 2 fish. That ain't nothing but one brick. But Jesus said, come on and bring it to me. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you take a small thing and you allow the Spirit of God to have it, don't you know great things are coming from it? Because Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fish. He lifted it up to the Father and he said what? Thank him. Don't you know they took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed over 5,000 folk, and guess what? They had 12 baskets of leftovers. I'm here to tell you, the Lord can do great things with